Online Podcast 192. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Online Podcast. Today, Monday, November 6th, I think. Let me see. Yes. Is the first show in our third year. I cannot even believe that. But because of how special today is, I also invited a very special guest who's going to be talking to us about something special. Snip, snip. Whoops. And I met this very special person, not Cliffy, in Seattle about a month ago. So welcome to the show from Tranny Rack Radio, Rebecca Ney. Hello.
Cliffy is special in his own special way.
Welcome, Cliffy. Welcome, Rebecca.
And I'm so glad that it is November 6th.
Yes.
Because I don't know where the last week of my life went.
You don't have to remember. It will all come to you eventually.
Oh, man. What the hell happened? A little coma.
So two years. I finished podcasting 2 years, several hundred shows later, not even hitting my 200th yet. But I'm not very prolific. But the thing is, I kept on doing. I thought about quitting a few times when
I got
busy. Yeah, I thought about that because I wasn't quite sure. There was at this point that I wasn't sure where I'm going with this show and whether or not what I'm doing is actually worth anything. Really for myself, not like, you know, as like a tool or as a guidance for somebody, not something like that, but for myself, is it doing something for me? And if it is doing something for other people while it's doing something for me, of course it'll be wonderful.
That's a special bonus.
Yeah, that would be a
bonus.
Well,
you don't need to worry about that part.
Yeah, I'm big boned. Oh, so Rebecca, the reason why I want to bring you here, some of you, I have several new listeners.
Oh,
and
okay.
I pick up quite a few listeners since our last chat. I have you? How many shows did I have you on? Like one or?
It was one.
One or two shows.
It was long, one.
A
show.
Long
this
time
will be
ago.
Number two.
Oh, a long time ago, right? In the summertime.
It was.
It was hot, like in the summertime.
I think probably. It was somewhere. No, it had to have been the winter because.
Oh, is it really?
Or you mean this summer, like in May? I think it was like. Spring is when you had me on.
So just go back to my archive and search for it. I'm not good enough to go tell you what show it is. Go back. That's what the search button is there for. Hello. Use the search button.
What search preparation here? Okay, hold on. I think I can tell you.
Interview,
on my website.
Okay. So yeah, I don't do a lot of research, obviously. Not even for the guests that I invited. And of course,
I just did "ong" on my website, and there's like every other word has "ong" in it, so popular.
Popular.
Now it was either in the late winter, it was early this year. I know that.
Okay, good.
So
there's an archive link telling people there's an archives. Link up on top of my website where you click on it and you get to this page and. It's broken down by months, and it also has this big search box on top. So if you want to check that out, just type in "tranny," and I think
"dirty skank." Can they type in "dirty skank"?
Oh yeah, what wars talented horse? Is that no?
I think "talented whores" was one of them. I'm not sure.
And the whores back. No, that's me. I searched for "tranny" and then I got all this stuff. Maybe I should type because sometimes I talk about you and I also link you. So I'm going to type Rebecca name and then and see when it is. Oh, it's "tranny." "Tranny Discovery" is what we call it. Number 148. Number 148. 8. Oh my gosh, I felt like I was singing at church and announcing the number of this hymn. Please turn to page 148 for 20 discovery. 148, please rise.
Hallelujah, brothers and sisters, I'm feeling the almost.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'm shaking as we speak.
I'm speaking in tongues. Oh my gosh, I wasted so much time. So anyway, online 148, Tranny Discovery was the last show. It was done in April 27th. The show was posted April 27th. And I believe we did the interview for a while before I actually play it. So for those of you who haven't heard the tranny, a little bit of a lesson about a transsexual individual from Rebecca several months ago. And today we are going to talk about specifically a major decision and also major, probably, I don't know what, change to put
change.
It. Yeah. A little bit. Tell us about what are you about to go through and how close it is. Pretty close, isn't it? November 6th, remember?
Actually, what I'm about ready to do is sometime between tonight and tomorrow morning, I'm going to go into the bathroom and sit on the toilet, and my asshole is going to open up really wide and this brown stuff will come out. But, oh, wait.
Do you have to push?
Yes, I have to push. That is important. I'm getting, I'm having sexual reassignment surgery or gender reassignment surgery on November 20th.
Oh, wow, very soon.
That will, for me, signify the, I guess you could say, closure or a significant point in one of the major journeys in my life, which has been a gender transition. Mm-hmm. So probably some people say, sometimes I refer to it as an end of a journey, but it's really not even that. It's just kind of closing one chapter of my life and opening up another.
That's
so, I'm looking forward to it. It will give me, hopefully, a sex life back.
What does that mean? Do you have to do a lot of prep stuff for it?
You mean just as far as getting ready for the surgery?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing physically is electrolysis, which is what I'm going through right now. I'm having electrolysis on certain areas around my genitals. Mm-hmm. And I think I've got one more session of that, and then
what does that do?
It removes hair around the scrotum.
And then that. Oh, I see. Is that going to be part of the internal?
Yes. Part. Okay. They use.
Now, there's nothing that is going to stop me from asking you stuff. So if you ever feel like you don't want to go that far, let me know.
Okay. Well. Good night.
Tune into for details. Tune into Tranny Rack Radio. Oh gosh, yeah. So I'm going to ask all the questions that I think, you know,
the juicy and the bloody ones.
The people who listen to the show want to ask, but probably don't have the guts to ask. And since I'm kind of close to you, and we've met in person already. And I did not see her cooch. Next time, maybe you'll show me.
Honey, you saw my cooch. You just don't remember.
Oh, is it? Was it that huge? I was in it? Did we have oyster omelet in it?
We did. It was at the restaurant.
Uh-huh. Oh, it was that cave. Okay. So, okay, let's go back to the thing. So I just want to recap a little bit about this transition surgery that you'll be going through. And it's obviously not just a physical thing, but the physical thing and emotional thing. And we'll talk about the physical first, and then don't let me forget about the emotional part of the transition.
Yoki doki, smoky.
So first thing... First thing, I hope you guys liked the live show if I ever did one. That was last weekend.
Last weekend's live podcast was the best podcast or live internet show I've heard in my life. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
If you don't know why we're talking about it, you just missed it. Anyway, so the surgery. And now the reason I haven't asked you, where are you going to be conducting or getting a surgery done?
It's going to be, and I can go ahead and send you a link. It's the Dr. Kamal Panzertum is the name of the doctor. mtfsurgery.com, M and T, just the letter T, and letter M, letter T, letter F, surgery.com. And it's right there on Bangkok, right where one of our mutual listeners, Rito, is.
Oh, hello, Rito.
And hi, Rito. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. And
he's so sweet.
Having you be my tour guide. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't have to do that. As I'm volunteering him. Now, Rito, I'm really looking forward to meeting you. This is going to be fun. The surgery is actually going to be on November 20th. Mm-hmm. It was on the 18th, and then they bumped it up a couple of days. And, getting back to the physical, I was in the middle of answering your physical question. They use all the skin, pretty much all the tissue, sensitive tissue. They try to keep just about all your nerves intact. Mm-hmm. The goal of the surgery is to have a healthy amount of depth natural depth, something that can accommodate, normal penetration sex. Mm-hmm. And with maximum filling. So if all goes well, I'll have a nice toy to play with.
Oh, good.
And I'm paying enough money for the goddamn thing that I want it to masturbate on its own. Fuck that.
Turn on. Where's the on switch?
Exactly. Just turn it on.
By the way, put it closer to my arm so I don't have to dig down into my crotch. Turn it on. Okay. And can you, I don't really know. Can you in a rather simple way describe kind of what parts turn into what parts in after the surgery or during the surgery?
Well, to be honest, the most sensitive areas they use for the clitoris. Okay. And as you know, being a gay man, that every guy has a sensitive area is a little bit different on every guy. And what they try to do is isolate that sensitive area. A lot of that depends on the feedback you give them. Mm-hmm. And the most sensitive area, the area that gets you off the most when you masturbate, that turns into the clitoris.
Oh.
And obviously that's... there's your money right there.
So you kind of have to tell the doctor where it is, or is it the same for everyone?
That's my understanding. Now, as far as just the what happens process, I mean, Dr. Kamal's website has drawings of the procedure. Yeah. And to be honest with you, because I'm going to be in La La Land,
uh-huh.
I don't care about that part. I just want to know, all I care about is how I look, how I feel going into the procedure, and all I care about is the results.
So tell me, what are the, I'm sure it's a surgery, so there's probably some risks involved, and mm-hmm. Have your doctor prep you about that, or are you going to be going through that when you're there?
Oh, well, I'm sure a lot of that is prepped the day that I get the surgery. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously going to fit me for breast implants, because I'm getting kind of a 3-in-1. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get breast implants, tracheal shave, which is an Adam's apple reduction, and the gender reassignment surgery. Uh-huh. And, so... as far as the complications and the risks, to be honest with you, whatever they are, I'm willing to accept that possibility. It's risky going in. I think any surgery that you have is going to have risks of complications that come with it, because no matter how good the surgeon you're seeing, you're still getting operated on by a human being.
Yeah.
And each and every one of our bodies reacts differently to those kind of procedures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of that shit is definitely making me nervous. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to lie to you. The closer I'm getting to the date, the more jittery I'm getting. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that about every surgery that I've had. This will be my third surgery where, you know, I'm put out, where they put you under. What is, it's not local. Is it local anesthesia or is it the one that where they just...
it's just whack you with a pan, with a wok.
They just whack you with a pan, yeah. This will be the third surgery in my life to where I've actually gone out. Uh-huh. And any time that I am put out to where I have no control over the situation.
Control
freak. Because I'm a fucking control freak. So, you know, any time that I'm not in control, it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely... I've actually read up more on the complication of breast enlargement, mm-hmm. because while there hasn't, ever since I started my transition, there's been no question that I was going to go through the gender reassignment surgery, mm-hmm. but I've been kind of on the fence as far as the breast implants go. You know, I don't have, as you noticed, I don't really have much of a chest.
I have more than you do. My man boobs bigger than yours.
Mine are like barely above man boob status.
My man boobs worse than your woman boobs.
I really have a flat chest, and but that to me is, you know, having a bigger chest, there's good and bad that comes with that. Mm-hmm. The good part is you're going to feel a lot more self-confident sexually. Uh-huh. As far as how you feel about yourself in regards to sexual appeal. Mm-hmm. And God knows that I could use an ego boost in that area. But also, you know, it's not, I don't know, to me that wasn't as necessary. I decided I'm going to go ahead and have chest enlargement and accept the risk there too. But I was definitely more aware of that because I did some, you know, a lot more homework on that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and
what
that's
going
to sound, I'll decide that the day of. Mm-hmm. And actually what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be buying a video camera. So I'm going to be video podcasting all of this.
Oh, wow.
Subscribed.
Please do it. Please tell people where can they find your website, your podcast.
Trannyrec.com, TrannyWreck. And, like I said, video podcasting is new to me, so it's probably going to be one of those things that while I'm in Thailand, if I get the opportunity to upload, it'll probably be just audio, mm-hmm. because I'm only going to have a PC with me there. So most of my video stuff I'm probably going to post once I get back from Thailand. Mm-hmm. And
want to milk it too. You want to stretch it out.
Yeah. Well, exactly. There you go. Well, and the video will work out a lot better if I can, you know, edit it and post it on my Macintosh.
Sure.
So you know, but who knows? If I get some good, if you or anybody knows of some good, either free or extremely cheap video software, editing software for
PC.
That can convert it to an MOV format.
Good luck. No, that's it on the Mac.
So if I'm going to do that, all of that on the Mac, it's going to have to wait until I get back.
And how long will it take, the recovery?
I will be in Thailand for a month, so I'll get back to Portland the end of December. As far as the recovery goes, as far as they say, 6 weeks after your surgery, you can have, sexual intercourse. Mm-hmm. But as far as the maintenance, it lasts anywhere from from 1 to 3 months.
What is the maintenance? What do you do?
Dilation, basically.
Like stretch it? What is dilation?
Yeah, what? With dilation, what
I saw that little rod that they show on the bottom of the website. I went to mtfsurgery.com, and then if you click on the SRS, which is what, sex reassignment or gender reassignment surgery, click on that, and then there's a lot of information there. And some people, I just want to make it clear, some people find that, well, you know, the tranny chasers out there, but for me it's really curiosity and you know, it's just like it's kind of weird, because like I told people before, I have an aunt she passed away, but I had an aunt who was a tranny, and tranny, of course we didn't call her that. Hello, Angie Tranny.
I did not know this until about 3 to 4 months ago, that some people in the transgender community are offended by the word tranny.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting enough.
Isn't it like the fag thing that we use?
You know, I don't think it's as explosive of a word. Mm-hmm. Probably could, because it doesn't have the same history that the word fag does. I know, like, early on in my transition, when I was quite a bit less passable, people would not, you know, whenever I was harassed, I wasn't called a tranny. I was called a faggot.
Oh.
So, you know, and trans women in particular, early transitioning trans women, cross dressers, what have you, basically those that don't pass real well, have a tendency to get a lot more verbal and physical harassment than those of us that do pass a little better. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'll never, how well I pass depends on other people's perception of women, you know, because I am 6'1", and some people, that's out of their little narrow realm of gender perception. So they're going to look at me with suspicion.
So, yeah. And also another thing that, which is not our focus today, but it's that whole, I think, you know, people's fear of the different, and that's why they tease, that's why they call you names. That is the thing that is probably, I don't know, the hardest for people who are different, and you know, same thing for a transsexual individual. It doesn't matter. I think it probably is for some reason, that probably has something to do with the history of how misogyny the society is that for a male to female, tend to get more teased probably from a female to male. But, you know, that's probably true also, female to male, so, well, people get beat up and all that.
There's a good podcast for those that are interested in listening to a podcast from the perspective of a trans guy, a female to male. Mm-hmm. If you go to my website, or you can go, better yet, we talked about Trans FM last time. Mm-hmm. You can go to transfm.org. And Ethan St. Pierre has a podcast called The Radical Guy. And he talks, you know, and that's a great podcast to listen to from a trans, you know, the perspective of a trans guy. Mm-hmm. And he's talked about how when he's married to a trans woman. Legally, and you can kind of see how that works out, you know, crisscrossing there. But he's married to a trans woman, and he gets more harassment when he's with her than he does when he's by himself, because he passes. He looks like everyone else, and that whole. Anyway, how did we get off? Oh yeah, the word tranny.
Yeah, the word tranny. But I just want to make one comment.
Talking about digging in people's genital area.
Yeah, we're talking about dilation. And I was just going to say that my observation or my experience is the whole thing. I also, in the beginning, I was sort of, before I know, like all people, that's why we need to teach and that's why we need to learn, is that when you're around people that you might not be comfortable with, especially within the gay community, you know, we put in the GLBT too easily, that when we say T, we don't really think about the experience from a trans woman or a trans man's experience. And as I get to know more intimately about another transsexual individual, tranny, rec, radio.com.
I'm so offended, but don't call me a tranny.
Tranny, Becky. And your name rhymes, the Becky Tranny. And then, and so it really opens up this thing that I don't know, it's almost scary because you don't know what to do to not offend. And I guess the lesson that I've learned is just be, and also the I guess the main question that a lot of people always struggle with was that, should I call him a he or a she or a she or a he? We talked about that too, the pronouns. And in Chinese language, it's much easier because there's no pronouns. I mean,
are you serious?
There are pronouns, but there are no pronouns between male and female in spoken, most Chinese spoken language,
really?
Dialects. Yeah. And the only difference is in written form, you see the difference. But when you speak, you don't have to think about whether you're calling him or her.
And you want to know, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. I that's the first time I've heard that. That's, to me, that seems more socially advanced in my view.
Yeah. Yeah. In a way, yes. In a way, yes. Yes.
Are you trying to, is that a reaction saying that you feel like your native language has a long way to go in other areas?
Oh, good God. And Chinese, yeah, it's a very, in many societies, Chinese included, is very male focused. Mm. It's all male, male, male. And female used to be, when you have a daughter, if they get married, they just get married away. And then, you know, that's like not yours anymore. It goes out. So if you have a good dish that you want to serve to your son or the daughter, you might as well serve it to your son, since he's going to be inside the family and the daughter's going to get married out of the family. So that sort of thing.
So you're saying that the reason that there's not as many pronouns in the speech is because it's all male by default?
Correct. Yeah, it's all male by default. And
okay,
also,
I take that back.
Yeah. But it's just that when you use it in speech, you don't have to worry about using a correct pronoun or not. That's why I always have the problem of using the correct pronoun in my regular speech. And of course, especially if I'm talking to Rebecca, I have to be a little bit more careful, because sometimes it may come out as, well, Rebecca, I know I don't care about you, but but other people, when I'm doing interviews, I have to be very, extremely careful. When I was doing my interviews with a few other trans individuals.
I think, and I try to make things as simple as possible for people, even though the issue, just like every other issue on the planet, are the issues I face are not simple. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because our brain, you know, we already tax our brains out with enough shit as it is. Mm-hmm.
Calling people by the name.
As far as pronouns go, yeah. I think just go off of their gender presentation.
Exactly. And that's exactly. That's a thing that I got from you.
Most people present in either one gender or the other, including trans people. If it's a cross dresser or a drag queen, I mean, let's, you know, drag queens, for example. Most people in the gay community refer to drag queens with feminine pronouns when they're in drag, and masculine pronouns when they're not.
Yeah.
You know, generally speaking. And so I guess what always has kept me mystified as a trans woman is when I'm obviously presenting in a feminine, when I'm obviously presenting myself in the feminine, I hate to say role.
Appearance. 'Cause
Marty called me to task for using that word in my last show, right? when you see that somebody's obviously trying to portray a certain feminine or a masculine appearance, just use those pronouns based on their presentation. It, for me, it's that simple. And then, there are people out there that consider themselves gender queer and don't like either pronoun. But, and you know, and if you run into one of those people, then, you know, they're going to tell you,
yeah,
you know, and then you can, you know, find out what, you know, you can find, talk to them about what is the best way to communicate with
correct.
Them.
And, yeah, this is exactly, this is exactly what I got from Rebecca, and also just from talking to her and also my previous experiences, that you, if they refer themselves, and no matter how passing or not passing at that moment of their transition, mm-hmm. if they identify themselves or present themselves as clearly you can see as a female, then call them a she or her or a whore. Oops.
A whore.
For Rebecca, yeah, whore.
yeah, I'm the exception there.
So yeah.
Not all women are going to appreciate. Oh, hi, whore.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we will go back to the surgery. But that's what I. Oh my gosh, what a big loop. So this is going to be a two-parter. Probably this is going to be the. Okay. We'll end. Somewhere, but okay. I like to talk about. Maybe we'll do the emotional one on the second show, perhaps.
Okay.
And let's talk about. Go back to the dilate. So there are right, dilators. Yeah.
There's like four or five different sizes.
Uh huh.
And usually within a couple of days after your surgery, uh-huh. twice a day you have to dilate, and you start with the smallest size and try to work your way up to the largest size. Mm-hmm. And you got to do that twice a day for at least 2 to 3 months. And that's one of the reasons why I'm hoping for
1 to 2 hours.
It depends on how long it takes for you to get the largest size in there.
But you don't do it all at once, do you?
No. It's a process. You know, you start with the smallest one until that's
comfortable. But each time you do it, how long does it take? Like how long does it take?
I'm assuming dilation is probably going to take about an hour.
Okay, I'm at the website now. Blah 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 blah. Slowly, for about 1 to 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And this is one of the reasons why I'm going to need a lot of time off of work, is because this is not stuff that I can do while trying to work around
sandwich while eating a sandwich. It's like pop it in.
Or being gone 12 hours a day, because that's my schedule right now, is I'm gone 12 hours a day during the week, and you know, it's going to be impossible to get any sleep and dilate. So they're going to give me, the doctor's going to clear me to have anywhere between 6 and 12 weeks off work. So
okay,
I'm trying to go for the 12.
you're still working and you're taking off from the work. You did not quit the work.
That was early. That was in my early. I took gay in my earlier years. You can hear more about that on our first show we did.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
And then,
okay. What were we talking about?
1 to 2 hours, like many hours.
Oh, the dilation.
Yeah.
The dilation, yeah, for, you know, morning and night, 1 to 2 hours. So, and I'm going to have to do that for about 3 months. And then after 3 months, as long as you're having regular sexual intercourse, then you're fine.
Okay.
And, or for me, I'll just, you know, as long as I have a nice vibrator.
You're fine.
I'll be fine. Well, there's another podcaster, and I don't know if I want to say this publicly, because she, another podcaster in private, said she was going to get me a vibrator as a present.
Oh.
And I'm sure those of you out there could probably, that listen to a lot of podcasts, can probably guess who it is, but I don't it on this show until I hear her say it publicly on her show.
Okay. Boy, oops. Okay. And then.
But after about 3 months, yeah, I presumably I won't have to dilate twice a day.
Do you have to do any upkeep with your breast implant or your whatever the shaving of your Adam's apple?
I don't think there's any upkeep.
What
with
is
the
it
Adam's
called?
Apple.
What is it called? Tracheal
shave.
Tracheal shave. Okay.
I don't think there's going to be any upkeep with that. As far as the breasts, I think you have to massage them for a while, mm-hmm. for like about, you know, a couple of times, you know, once a day for a month or something like that. And then after that, they're fine. So, you know, like I said, there's the most important part to having a healthy sex life for me is going to be the dilation. That is going to be critical. Mm-hmm. And the hospital staff is going, as long as I'm in Thailand, they'll do it for me.
Time to dilate, spread your legs. So,
but that's gonna. But I'm definitely going to let them do that even once I'm out of the hospital, mm-hmm. is so I can learn how to do it properly. Because apparently, a lot of trans. I've heard the horror stories from several trans women who don't have a lot of depth now or even width because they fucked up during their dilation process.
So it is like
that's important.
Now, the dilation obviously is not going to happen after a few weeks, or do you actually start the dilation process? Oh, so you started pretty soon.
While it's
pretty much healing up or shaping up, I guess you kind of have to do it the right way.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I said, I'll be bedridden for about a week. So, you know, obviously I won't have to worry about much of that because from what I've heard about Dr. Kamal's office and really most of the reputable surgeons that are in Thailand, they take really good care of you.
That's good.
They have the highest quality care with great facilities. You've probably seen some pictures of some of their facilities. You know, I'm going to be really taking care of really well.
That's good. Can I ask you this question?
They're going to take me shopping too.
It's very expensive.
The surgery?
Yeah.
$13,500.
Oh, that's actually not too bad. Not as bad as
well. It actually would have been even cheaper, but they're charging. But they're hitting me with the 50% surcharge because of my HIV status.
I see. So,
it would
which is not bad. Cheaper. No, if it's like how much will it cost if you were to have done it? Can you actually do it here? I'm sure can.
Right? In the United States? Oh, yeah. There's definitely, there's some really good surgeons here. Even though Thailand is like the quote-unquote sex change capital of the world, mm-hmm. it's probably the most, you know, prominent because, you know, you can get a really good pussy on the cheap over there.
It's like a discount, like a Target pussy. Oh, Walmart.
I would say you can get what's a high-end retail store?
High-end retail store. Macy's pussy?
Okay. You can get a Macy's pussy for Walmart price.
Okay. That's good.
Since you want to use retail comparisons.
What is the tagline for Walmart? I forgot. What is that tagline for Walmart? Always low price prissy.
although I think we just came up with a tagline for the Thai sex SRS industry there.
Yeah.
For Walmart prices.
Macy's pussy for Walmart's prices. Please visit mtfsurgery.com.
Nice. Nice. So that's the physical part of it. Just dilation is important, and you know they're going to take me shopping, so I feel like I'm going to be in really good hands.
Would you have time to update, or would you like have somebody there to keep your listeners and probably even my listeners updated about your condition and
going to keep? I am definitely going to do updates of one kind. If I don't have really good internet access as far as for uploading large files, mm-hmm. then I'll at least update the blog.
TrannyRec.com.
So, and Alex is my boyfriend/roommate. We can save that for another show. Mm-hmm. Or you can just go to TrannyRec Radio and listen to what's going on there. Alex has agreed to blog for me when I'm,
good. Because I'm sure people will want to, you know.
Keep up. So he will definitely. There will definitely be updates, and hopefully my plan is to at least post video while I'm over there using those wonderful binaural microphones that where I got those from.
Sounds professional. But no, you want to go to my link. They've sent two checks to me, but I've never gotten any money from them. Like, they said that we've cut two checks, but I've never received any checks.
It's funny because I tried using
I think it worked. Yeah.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
But anyway, let's go back to the vagina. So dilations is very crucial because that pretty much sets the depth and that if you don't do it, I read it on the website, even if it hurts, continue doing it, because it's going to be crucial for the long term. It's how
I'm not in the beginning while it's still healing. I'm not looking forward to dilation. Mm. I've thought about, just because I love doing crazy things with audio.
Yeah. Yes. You're going to do it? Like put your binaural microphones by your vagina?
I was thinking of one of my initial dilating sessions where I'm dilating by myself, or even having the binaural on while they're dilating, you know, just the theater of the mind type thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. I would listen to that. Make sure you send Adam Curry the link. Oops. Oops, did I say that?
I don't think I'm going to put, like, you know, the stuff that I wouldn't feel comfortable putting in video. I definitely want to do some audio of that, you know, to just kind of mix it up. Like, dilating and... once I get my new vibrator, I agreed to send in some audio of my session to this person's show.
Yes.
So anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So. And so let's go back to the vagina again. So we talk about the sexual side of it. So the pleasurable part, well, the sensitive spot is going to be a clitoris. And then what would be the line, like what would be the skin inside of your vagina? Is that going to be the scrotum?
Penile and scrotal skin mostly. Yeah, like I said, it's just whatever. Normally the head is used for the clitoris, but you know, and then typically the penile and scrotal skin is used for depth.
I see.
And however much skin you have, it will depend on how much depth they can give you.
Now, do they chop your nuts off, or do they leave it intact?
They do chop your nuts off, or what it's called is a bilateral orchiectomy.
Oh, I thought chop your nuts off is the scientific name for it. Yes. See, number nine, chop the nuts off.
Frustration. But I already had that done, you know, I had that done like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Is that how many surgery related to the transition surgery have you done?
Just one. Just had my nuts chopped off.
Mm-hmm. You didn't do it yourself, or did you have a squirrel do it for you?
I just had a wild BDSM party where something really hard.
And I hope Andy Melton didn't eat the squirrel that ate your nuts. That's like,
honey, I'm keeping him away. Anybody that needs a bilateral orchiectomy, just go to andymelton.net.
Oh, oh gosh. No, Andy, it's squirrels, not nuts. So anyway, and so it's going to be somewhat inside out, and then so that is probably the sexual part of it, and meaning, you know, it's going to be used for your sexual intercourse and pleasure and all that. What about peeing?
I would assume that'll happen the same way any woman pees.
I don't really know where it comes out. Oh my gosh, that is so retarded of me. I don't really know.
The urethra is shortened. So, you know, wherever, you know, your urethra comes out now, you know, like I said, it's shortened. Uh-huh. And I I'm hoping that everything works out to where I can just comfortably pee sitting down. And, you know, I am going to miss peeing standing up because there are certain situations when you're in a public, privately.
It's kind of dirty bathroom. Or
yeah,
something.
Whenever you, like, if you go into a stall.
Sell those things, don't they? They sell a little funnel thing that you just cup it over your vagina and then you just squirt it. I've seen those.
I might be buying one of those.
I've seen those. Just cup it on there and then pee standing up. Yeah.
Nasty. if I don't have to sit down on one of those.
So it's going, is it, now this is kind of retarded of me. Is it outside of the vaginal cavity?
I would assume the urethra is runs right along the clitoris, like I said.
So it was somewhat external. Like it's
well,
not
in- to be completely honest with you, I'm still kind of, I guess you could say, I don't have a lot of interest in the vagina from a external perspective. I want one. Uh-huh. Because of the emotional and physical implications, because it'll help me feel more whole with my body. But as far as the biology and the anatomy of it and the procedure while I'm out in La La Land, I don't, to me that, you know, maybe some will think, you know, see this as being ill prepared, but to me that hasn't interested me
correct.
A lot.
As long as the doctor knows about it.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the doctor knows where all that shit goes.
I think you're right. It's probably something that's more exciting or interesting for as an outsider like me asking you about it. That's probably more, for us, it's probably more exciting looking from the outside than it's your own.
I just want, as long as everything, you know, biologically functions as it's supposed to, and I can get and I can have a healthy sex life, those are my expectations. Most important, my minimum expectations are that everything functions like it's supposed to and that I still don't have a lump in between my legs after, you know, all is said and done. If I have a healthy sex life, that's even a bonus.
Okay.
So
well, that's good.
I'm trying to go into this with somewhat of a healthy, not too pessimistic, but not too optimistic. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
The emotional side as far as...
Probably a good transition, but we will talk about that on our next show, which will be sometime this week. And since this is a Monday show, sometime this week, whenever I feel like it, I will edit the show and then put it out. So we'll talk about that coming up this week. Sometime this week, you just have to subscribe or check back on this website momentarily and burp... Whoops, wait. Ugh. And thank you for listening. And Becky, thank you, but stay on the line. And
of course.
Thank you so much, all the listeners out there. And I hope this is not, I hope this is not too graphic because I ask very graphic questions. And I think this is the difference from a podcast as opposed to any other big media that we see on there, because I just ask it as it is. And since I sort of know Becky, you know her well, that I can actually pretty much trust her that she doesn't hate me for asking stuff like that, because we know she's a whore. And thank you so much for sharing that very intimate part of the transition surgery with us. And
you are welcome.
And all the listeners, come back and also go to trannyrec.com.
God damn it.
And follow the whole process. It's going to be very interesting, I think. And from, you know, anybody, but it's just from somebody who's curious. And I think you sort of take this to the point where you're not making this a hush-hush and nothing, don't want to talk about sort of thing. And you sort of made this almost like a public education for all the people who are interested in finding out. And it is through finding out information that we learn.
Just don't tell anybody we had this discussion.
Oh, okay. Don't tell anyone. just ask them to go listen to it yourself. Just don't tell them about it so that they have to go listen to it.
Exactly.
Now, yeah, go listen to trainingwreck.com and also leave comments here or there for her. And well wishes for her new vagina. And also her the almost like a complete of one chapter, as she calls it. And come back and listen to more of this next time we're talking about the emotional transition. And hopefully you'll be back for that too. Thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen and whores, don't forget to smile. Ta-ta.